Haribol, Haribol, Haribol. Thank you, Ganga Ma. What did the, can you tell us what you were singing? To whom you were singing?
It's a chant to the one who delights in Radha, which is Krishna. And I would say that Krishna invites us to rest in the heart and to enjoy the pleasures of life in the body without being attached to it. It's a free enjoyment.
Well, I guess we're sorted for our meditation. Thank you so much, Ganga. And welcome everyone. And if your eyes are open and you are more comfortable having them closed for the meditation, please do, and welcome to newcomers. Very welcome, and to all. And once you've closed your eyes, just, well, as Ganga just said, resting. How did you say them? The pleasures of the body, but I think also in the heart. Maybe that's where to find the pleasures of the body. The pleasures of life. And then you said not being attached to it. I guess we mean the body, but really when we rest in the heart, maybe it's easier not to be attached to anything. Since we're resting, things can flow by. We are cradled in the heart together. I guess if we could walk around all day long with Ganga singing here and there in our ears, in this such a sweet devotional, with such a sweet devotional quality, it would be so much easier to rest in the heart 24/7. So I guess maybe anytime now you feel you're drifting away into thinking, worrying, resisting, just try to evoke Ganga's voice. As yours, it's your voice, singing, calling, praising. Longing. We can't really make ourselves abide in and as presence whenever we are out there and feel suffering. But we certainly can turn back towards our altar, our deity, take care of our altar, literally. Maybe even some of us, we have an altar at home, and literally go to the altar like they do in India, I remember, in Nepal, in India, in temples, small temples, how they wash and burn incense and chant and pray and do all sorts of sacred things, devotional things, with their hands and with their voice, with their hearts, I hope. Maybe so that the divine can come rest in our heart. And then just letting things be as they are, moment by moment. It's natural for dust to accumulate on the altar and for the altar to get a bit jangly, and for the incense to have run out, and the candle and the wax and all that. That's life. It's messy. Quite messy, right? For most of us, maybe not for everyone. But but then we can come and clean the altar and wash and purify and praise and long and call and cry and repair. Repair the pathways that may have broken. In our hearts, whatever is arising for you in your heart right this moment, let it flow, let it unfold. May it be offered to the altar. Alongside your breath, the in-breath, the out-breath. Each breath like a flower on the altar. And of course, each thought, each sensation, each sense perception, the sound of this voice. Maybe you hear the sound of the birds outside my window. Anything that is arising. May it be a gift for the altar. It always is a gift for the altar because nothing can arise outside God. But I guess when I say may it be, I mean may we know it. May we partake in the offering. May we be the offered one and the offering one. You don't have to make sense of these words. They don't really make sense. Just surrendering whatever is arising moment by moment. And feel your bodies and feel your breath. And don't be shy to truly taste the breath, the body. And as you taste, you offer. As you feel, you surrender. Whatever is perceived the tension in your shoulders and your jaw, the temperature, the palms of your hands, the tinglings, the movement of the breath, the way the weight rests on the cushion. Feel your whole body alive, let it get a chance to come to life, at least as much as your thoughts. And maybe the prayer with the body is, may you be an expression, a channel, a flowering. Of this presence, of this altar. You just sort of quietly whisper that prayer to your body. May you be a blossoming. You don't require anything to change, just exploring. What happens, how this body might like to fall into alignment. This body may want to express it's suffering. It may want to offer that. There might be layers of tension, fear, sadness, hurt that are like petals dropping on the altar. See if you can surrender the weight of the body, the weight of the shoulders, the weight of the hips, the weight of the arms, the weight of the legs. May your limbs be flowing water for the altar. And feel your spine, your torso is open. Your spine sort of relaxed and upright, but without sort of pushing your torso out or collapsing your torso. A sense of being rooted in beautiful soil, and the torso can just be dynamically aligned to the vertical. Each vertebrae resting one on top of the other. Soft, there's softness between the vertebrae. Try not to make anything happen. Just let my words speak directly to your body. And welcome whatever pain or discomfort arises. They're not induced by the words. They're already here. They're just surfacing to be welcomed. The body holds a lot of suffering. So don't hold anything back. Don't push anything back in. Let things surface. And when there's pain or tension that surfaces, let it sort of touch the surrounding openness and be touched. Let the breath help, the in-breath can bring goodness into the body, and the out-breath can carry out the woundedness out into the openness. And your head is just resting on top of the spine. See how it wants to rest. Feel the back of your neck lengthening a little bit. Your chin slightly dropped towards your torso. Your chin as if it was resting on the surface of the ocean. You're standing in the ocean and your chin just resting right on the surface. And now let your body touch and merge with the surrounding, well, ocean, I guess. Openness in all directions. Letting the breath be very alive so that the body doesn't become sort of crystallized as resistance. In fact, let the body move a little bit without opening any your eyes and without doing anything drastic. Just let the body be moved by currents in the ocean. Very, very gentle. It's a warm, peaceful ocean. And the currents are pushing against the torso one way and then the other. And the arms can sort of lift away from your lap because it's buoyant in the water. There's not much sense of weight. And your palms are enjoying the texture of the air, water. The warmth. There's no reason to do this except to dance the body with the altar in which it arises. It's a dance of gentle openness, very gentle. Let the head also follow the movement of the spine. May there be space in your hips so the torso can move a little bit away from the legs curling backwards, and then you can feel some openness in the hips. Very easy, very innocent. And then gently let everything come back to stillness, the stillness of water. When water is peaceful, it's not perfect stillness. its rippling stillness. Let your body be rippling stillness. Your hands resting wherever they would like to rest, fingertips touching texture. Feel the touch of your clothes, touch of the air on your face, on your skin, wherever your skin is bare. Touch of the clothes in your back body, pelvis, your legs, your feet. Feel the touch of the air on your face, your eyes, your forehead, your cheeks. Tips of your nose, tip of your nose, very sensitive. Your chin, your mouth, your lips, your ears. Fingertips of your favorite friend, person, sort of caressing your face very lightly. So that you can begin, just begin. Don't make it a big deal. I know your body's complaining because mine is too, so we have to go gently, but see if you can taste the sensation of the envelope of your body, the skin, the edge. As if the body was a cloud and it's tasting its edges. And they're very refined, very subtle, quite fuzzy. And let the edges become even fuzzier. And if there's a sensation of temperature with the body, let that penetrate the space beyond the body. Losing your boundaries for a little while. And again, let the body, whenever it wants, ripple back into movement. So you could, for example, start with the root of the pelvis circling around the rim of a bowl. But then you let the currents be more playful with the body. Don't have any idea. Don't feel that you're doing it. Feel that it's done. Feel the arms really flowing, floating, flowing away from the torso, rising up without any sense of weight, right and left, reaching out. Reaching in, palms touching. Let it happen, let it express what it wants. There's no right or wrong here. Come into focus. The movement, the dance. The dance to the altar. Especially with your arms, if your arms are moving, let them originate deep inside your torso. And your palms and your breath, very connected. Mysterious dance. Give the body what it wants. That's part of the dance. If there's a stretch or a breathing that wants to elongate or a feeling that wants to be expressed, feel you can carve the space into a shape. Nobody's looking. Make it very intimate, you and your altar. Doesn't have to be polite and spiritual, you know? It's what it is. Trust the emotion that may be here, not too far away. The emotion can move your arms into a bigger, larger expression. The emotion can use your hands, your fingers, your arms, of course you might stand up if it's what wants to happen. There's absolutely no need for this to make any sense. Yes, and again, just when it's ready, when it would like, letting the rippling stillness pervade your experience again. So the body just dissolves back into something that itself does not dissolve. Make sure you let the body really align itself with this rippling stillness and the breath. So there's no effort to breathe, just the breathing, free of a breather. Just like in still water, there's just this vague ripple. Or very gentle wave. The in-breath and the out-breath. And maybe you can sometimes feel yourself to be the borderlessness, in which everything floats. In which the body floats. But the body, when you know yourself as the borderlessness, the body becomes just these sort of little floating islands of sensation. So let that be. Be the borderlessness. Leave your body to be just little islands floating. The sound of this voice rippling. And if you feel tension in your palms or in your forehead, or that brings you back into me, the body, just empty the body of its weight in all directions. And then again, be the borderlessness, be the sky, extending free of borders in all direction. With lots of islands maybe, but that's okay. Let the islands be islands. They're taking a bath in you. Every time you feel yourself drawn back into me, the body, me behind the head, behind the face, me in the shoulders, me in the suffering body, just stay there for a bit and listen with your tactile listening. And then see if you can sort of springboard yourself back into the openness, not tearing yourself away from that me, the body feeling, but just gently launching yourself back out into and as the borderlessness. And then again, you feel drawn back into the body, into the chest area where the feeling is, or into the shoulders, or these very habitual places where we feel we live as the body, as the separate body. So then you're back. You see how it works. It's very, 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 very. Very magnetic and very sticky, and then you can try again to springboard yourself back out into the openness. Like you're committing yourself back to the openness, marrying the openness, divorcing the stickiness, divorcing the conditioned body. Doesn't mean that you are pushing it away or repressing, or you're just saying to the sense of location in the head, in the chest, in the shoulders, you know what? I know you are real to some extent in this moment. But there's something even more real, and I'd rather be married to that. But you could stay And you can be our children. That would be the better relationship. You marry the sky, and all the sensations and feelings are your children. No incest. You don't marry your children. That's once in a while, and here Ellen is going to contradict herself, as I like to do, I guess. You marry the body for a bit. But in this case, it's not incest. It's like you have chosen to take residence in the body for a bit. But it's not a separate body. It's an aligned body, a body that's not disconnected from surrounding openness that is its source. So you could feel that right now. Feel yourself sort of really living in the body, in a body that isn't separate. And again, the body that wants to move and be moved, and then let the movement. And the breath. And the head is moving too. The whole body is moving. This whole body's been moved by its ocean. But I would really give some attention to the head and let the head really recognize that it's connected to the whole body, the whole body connected to the earth and to the space. So everything can move. Every articulation of the body, every nook and cranny, and touch, move and touch and breathe, and discover as you go along. Yes. And again, let yourself be the sky and feel the body dissolving in you, just as it in the timing that it wants. You're the sky, and now the body is merging with you, your body. And I'm going to invite Ganga to bless us again with her voice. And as she does, you're free to let the body move. Keep your eyes closed. And of course, let the voice join her without turning your mics on. See what happens. Let Ganga's voice be the rippling current that moves the body, that moves you to sing, or that moves you to stillness. Let's take 5 minutes and then come back. Thank you.
Hi, Sophia. Hi, Lynn. Welcome back, everyone. And thank you so much, Ganga. That was so lovely. And I'm just going to plug in our retreat in July, 3 days with Ganga and me. And it's in a place, and it's in Herefordshire, which is a lovely part of England and near the river. So I think we can swim if it's nice weather. And yeah, come. So if anybody would like to, you know, share or ask a question, feel free. Ganga, did you want to say something about our little retreat? No. Yes.
Yeah, no. I really look forward to it, Ellen. I think, you know, the chanting, it's so beautiful to feel connected together, like this process, what we're doing here. It's like such an internal journey, no? But when we sing, we feel we're really in this together, yeah. Without needing to go into the stories, or it's just really this, yeah, just spiritual friendship and companionship that can be really felt so deeply. Of many other things also, but I feel that's really, yeah, a plus from the way we meet now, which is also very inspiring, of course. But yeah, to hear all these voices melting together and then just to dissolve in that field of sound, it's just
yep.
So feel free if you want to speak, and just unmute yourselves and speak.
I will just say that was utterly blissful. Thank you, Ellen, and thank you, Ganga Ma.
Thank you, Janet. Nice to have you.
I want to add one more thing, which is that I've been swimming a lot lately, and so the texture of the water, you know, I'm used to my body being in water and having that sort of sensation of the water. And today I felt the sensation of air, which is, there is something there. It is, you know, it's a substance. It's not just nothing that we're in. So, yeah, magic.
Cool.
Can I say, I've been singing a lot recently in the last year or so, but it was wonderful to be chanting. And the repetition was just lovely. It felt so much freer than the last times I was chanting somehow. I was able to just fall straight into it and open through it. So thank you.
So welcome. Nice to see you, Lynn Marie.
Yeah, you, Ellen, too, and everyone.
Yeah.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Hilka.
And hi, everybody. And thanks, Ganga. Also, I wanted to thank you for the blog, that devotional sense. And it's Like I have been in this kind of a spiritual crisis. The reasoning doesn't touch, and it's really like related to the body, like the real body. The body likes this devotional, at least in my case, because the body knows somehow it knows its essence in that way when it's included within this. And it was like the picture, the photo what you had in the blog, the holding hands, it's always like the same feeling when coming here, that you are like we are holding each other's hands, and it's so palpable. So thanks a lot.
Oh, Hilka, your voice is like that too, you know. And thank you. You're just there every single time, so you're definitely part of this hand holding circle. And maybe I'll include this blog that you're referring to in the email I send all of you, so you can read it. But thank you, Hilka.
Thank you.
Harshit, I'm surprised you don't have a question for me. I'm sure you're preparing one. I can tell you are.
No, ma'am. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I have questions, but I'm like little. Just
you're saving it for when you talk to me one on one, no?
Yeah, I don't know.
Harshit has very like philosophical questions usually. How is life over there in India?
Nice. Midnight.
Midnight. Well, it's nice that you're coming to be with us so late.
Yeah. There is a question about formless and form.
Yes.
Everyone says like formless. Like nirakar. In Hindi it is, and there is sakar, that is form. Sakar saguna nirakar nirguna, basically I'm asking that. So all are fighting, like the formless are fighting that the absolute reality is formless, and the forms are like dualities, those philosophies that it is the reality. What is actually the reality? Hello? Hello?
I already told you shouldn't ask me those kinds of questions, but I really like it when you come.
Hello? Huh?
Did somebody say hello?
Yeah, me only. Net was
did you hear? Did you hear my formless answer?
No. What did you say?
I said I don't know.
You know, actually, but you are not telling.
I know, actually, but I don't know how to put it in words. So you have to feel the answer when you're together with us. Whatever you feel is the answer, this gathering's answer. But I can't answer it with words in a philosophical way. But there are other great masters who can.
Yeah, I went to Eric Barrett session also, but it was in French.
So. All right, Harshit. But we speak soon.
Yeah, okay.
Take good care.
Yeah, sure.
And just, Harshit, you know what? You should answer that question to yourself, because nobody can tell you what the answer is better than yourself.
Yeah, I put it in the cosmic vibration view, actually, from that point of view. And the example of the phases of moon, like when it is new moon, it is like formless. And when it is full moon, it is like full.
That's with nice.
Form and... I got that answer from one book only.
So that's not your answer. Next time you give me your answer.
But yeah, I also I got to that answer. Then I also found that in a book of Saint Gyaneshwar, like if you know. Okay.
Well, I like it, I think. Anyway, we'll talk again.
Yeah. Then I will ask.
Okay. Hi, Rose.
I just want to thank you both for Ganga's being here. It's beyond words, but it's deep and soothing and so beautiful to melt into my entire being into. I've got tears. So thank you. I'm so glad you're here.
You know, Ganga does. Don't you do weekly kirtans online, Ganga?
Not weekly, but maybe like 2-3 times a month.
I'll put your Ganga Ma's website on the email so you can check it out.
Wonderful. Are there going to? It used to be more often that there was the sharing with your meditations. Is that?
No, I mean we could do it more often, right?
Yeah.
Oh, if it comes to be, I would so love it.
Okay, it will come to be then.
Oh,
your desires are orders, my lady.
It's flowing in. Thank you, Fritz.
Thank you, Rose. How are you, Jenny? Are you okay?
Hi.
Hi.
Nice that you ask. Thank you. I was just thinking that the meditation, like, I had a friend visiting with whom I have this like very weird deep love, and I'm trying to understand it, which is me trying to understand love. No, but I think this meditation brought me back into this place that it's painful, you know, that such love is painful like this. And the music was so nice because I was trying to like just open to it, like, you know, talking to myself, just give yourself to it and to give myself to that love. And it's I need to cry and it's painful. I don't know why. Yeah, so that was. It was present for me.
Maybe the pain is like when the heart breaks open, it's painful, but then when the tears can flow, it's such a relief.
Yeah, it is. It's true. But there's also an abyss looming somehow, you know, like the breaking open and then feeling of like not like an overwhelmment of like what what to do that with that, as if it was dangerous, the bigness of it,
it is big, isn't it? Be courageous. I don't know what to say other than that. And such a big mystery, all of this.
Mm.
The bigness of love, but also the bigness of all these feelings. I like the word abyss. But then sometimes there's a simplicity of love that's very palpable as well.
Yeah, I often feel a disparity of like wanting to express that, like feeling that and wanting to express it and feeling that I don't have the ability to express it, although I feel it, you know, this kind of, so, and I think in these moments when something breaks open, there's this, it's just the presence of the longing to be it, to express it. And it's mysterious why this gap.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we all relate to it. To me, it's a bit to do with form and formlessness, about the little person that we are and the magnitude of what we can touch sometimes. And expression is, you know, maybe it's time to write a song for us just to bridge, to try and bridge that gap. It's unbridgeable, but still we try as humans. It's what we do. It's our devotion. We don't understand anything, but we try to bridge it. We understand a little bit. And
it's interesting that yeah, I always think it's my personal problem, the bridge, but yeah, probably it.
I mean, then when sometimes we glimpse the oneness of our being, of all things, then there's no need for bridges in those moments. So we do have glimpses maybe of the bridgeless, placeless place. But I think it's very natural to also feel that sense of duality. Sometimes it's separation and it's very painful. And sometimes it's devotion or being broken open or being connected to the totality, but still sort of standing outside of it somehow. And that's a beautiful place because it's a place of expression, of longing, of loving. I mean, if we were just one with ourselves 24/7, why there would be no loving? There would be nothing. There would be nothing. It'd be very boring.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nice to see you, Jenny.
Nice to see you too.
How are you feeling, Len? Len was not well, but he's better.
Yeah.
Are you better?
Well, I'm here. I'm alive. Yeah, so interesting. Coming up against your mortality, let's put it that way, opens up all kinds of avenues of exploration.
I bet.
And in the end, I think we're just all living in a condition of love. That's it. Because there are small things that we sometimes don't notice. But when we're facing that mortality experience, you start noticing more.
Mm.
And there's a lot to notice. Mm. So.
Thank you, Len.
Thank you. Thank you for asking. Mm.
Rose, did you want to unmute yourself again? Yeah.
My eyes are wet again. Thank you, Len.
Yeah. Okay, dear ones. Thank you all for coming. Very sweet. Small things that we are. See you next time. Feel free to unmute yourselves to say hi and bye.
Thanks, Ellen.
Hi, bye.
Hi. Nice to see you again.
Bye. Bye. Bye and bye.
Bye, Brandon.
Thank you.
Bye, Kira.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye, Jean Marie. Bye, Claire. Bye, Aisha. Bye, Sophia. Bye. Cuties.
Okay, see ya out there somewhere.
Ali. Maria.
Yes. Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao. Ciao. Eugene and.
Yes.
Mm. And Gongama. Mm.
Ganga.
Yes. That was lovely. Thank you.
Mm. I was so happy to hear Harshit from India.
It's nice, isn't it?
India so much today.
Bye, Harshit. Go to bed now. Bye bye.
Chaika.
Chaika, Maria.